Thanks for downloading this free album, Luke Bowage Live and Suggestible. Like the name implies, I wrote each one of these songs based on suggestions shouted out to me by audience members at the end of 10 of my sets that I performed at We Are Not Gemoozed, which is an open mic comedy show here in Berlin. And so what you're getting is the first time I ever performed any of these songs, and often only days or hours after I'd finished writing them, because I'd always, you know, get the suggestion one week, write the song, and perform it the next time I performed. So I had no idea if the songs are going to be funny or not. I think they are, but hopefully this album captures that live experience of discovering if a song is funny or not, or how good it is and how much the audience likes it. There is actually one track which wasn't recorded live. It's quite obvious in there in the middle. It was a duet that I did with my girlfriend, and we used a backing track, and the live audio that we recorded wasn't very good. It was inaudible, so we recorded that one again afterwards. Now this album is free, yay, free, but it's free because it's a promotion for my other comedy album, my non-free comedy album called Bitterly Autobiographical. Please buy that at iTunes or Amazon MP3. You can find the links to that at lukebowage.com, or just search for Luke Bowage Bitterly Autobiographical at those stores, or you can buy my CD from me in person. So this album is live and suggestible, so let's get to the live stuff and pick up immediately after I asked the audience for my very first song suggestion.
Pubic hair removal.
Okay, I can do. Okay, so come back next week. Song and a demonstration of pubic hair. You're up for that, Paul. Are you up for that?
I'm totally down.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to pass you back over to the host this evening, Paul Somebody.
Luke Burridge, everybody.
I've got some words in case it's a new song, so it's. Still here.
I've never seen you naked, no, I've never seen you bare. But you know I'm still annoyed by your pubic hair. Exactly what it looks like, you know, I don't even care. It's really not a problem while it's still attached down there. But when I go around to your house, or worse, when you come round to my house, and you've been to the bathroom any time, even once before me, on the edge of the toilet, or worse, on the floor by the door there, even worse, on the side of the sink, we're still stuck in my soap. There's a pube stuck in my soap. God, how did a pube get stuck in my soap? Please keep your pubic hair under control. Please keep your pubic hair under control. Hole or around your pole. No, please keep your pubic hair under. Keep it under control. Yeah. For such a long time, I've kept my thoughts on pubes suppressed. But now is the time to get them off my chest. It's more than just clean bathrooms, in case you haven't guessed. There's something deep in my past that left me quite distressed. The first time I gave oral, it was quite an adventure. I had fun with my tongue, and she said she had fun with my tongue. But a single stray pube got caught in the back of my throat. I got and hacked and it didn't move a bit, and I drank and gargled, and I have to admit, it was caught in my tonsils for about 3 days. God, why did a pube get stuck in my throat? Please keep your pubic hair under control. Don't want it in my mouth, no, keep your pubic hair under control. It's more than how it looks wrong when hair that long sticks out your thong. Yeah, get your pubic hair under, get it under control. Yeah, get your pubic hair under control. And girls, trust me, your boyfriends will thank you when you give up the long and crinkly. And guys, you know that if you shave your balls, your penis looks longer, apparently. But girls, before you shave it all the way, please heed my final warning. It might freak him out if it looks like you have to go to primary school in the morning.
The full Brazilian is sometimes a bit too extreme, you know what I mean?
My girlfriend and me, we keep each other tidy. We're like a pair of gorillas. Grooming is just part of our life. But we're gorillas with razors, with wax epilators and tweezers. So I guess we're hair-free gorillas. Actually, not quite hair-free gorillas, but gorillas each with a patch of nicely shaped hair. Exactly when we're staring, when we're gobbling down there. So be like us, get your pubic hair under control. Just like us, yeah, get your pubic hair under control. Just take a sheets match to the thatch around your snatch. Yeah, now your pubic hair under. Get it under control, and guys, you'll be safe when you shave your scrotum, even though it's kind of wrinkly. My girls don't believe the rumors you've heard about it growing back so itchily. Just shave your pubes away, a brand new life can start today. Yeah, get your pubic hair under. Get it under control. Yeah, get your pubic hair under control. Yeah, your pubic hair under control.
Caroline's behind me going, boom, boom. Is a thing, although we didn't chew it here last time. So, okay, now it's time of my set where you guys in the audience, not you, you already had a go, is it your turn in the audience to throw out a suggestion of what I can write a song about over the next week, and when I come back here next week or the week after, I can perform. So, anything topical, non-topical, life, not life.
Tomato.
Any other suggestion?
Getting fingered in the park.
No, you've already done that. I'm not doing a song about getting fingered in the park, okay? Okay, I'm going to pass you back over to the host this evening, Caroline. Paul, Caroline, they're not ready.
Sorry.
Are you ready? Yeah. Okay, that's the end of my set. Thank you very much. I'm passing you back over to Paul. So, buddy!
Luke, Curry Bush, Courage. Thank you very much, Luke.
See if I can remember this one. Here we go. About tomatoes, by the way. We plan to meet at 8 for our very first date, an Italian place. Seems like a safe bet, good pizza on a plate always goes down great. If someone hates pizza, I've not met them yet. Things are going fine, but I notice when you start to frown as you look through the menu, and then you ask Luke, hey, do you suppose they can make me a pizza with no tomatoes? With no tomatoes, with no tomatoes. If it was only you say tomato, and I say tomato, no, but it's that you don't like tomatoes, and you pass on tomatoes too. So we can't share food here at my favourite pizzeria, though it's not like tomatoes give you diarrhea. You just say that you hate their taste, and while I consider your hate misplaced, I'll let it slide for the sake of this date, because in every other way you might be my soulmate. Yeah, in every other way you might be my soulmate. First date underway, and I know it's cliche, but soon we turn to movie talk. My favourites, I say, are Groundhog Day, and then as though on cue you drop your fork, I steal one from the next table and pass it to you, and with a grin say, may the fork be with you. A bad joke, I know, but then I get the sense that you don't even catch the reference. The reference, my all-time favorite movie, and you don't get the reference. If it was only you say Star Wars, and I say Empire Strikes Back, no, it is that you don't mention Star Wars, and you pass by Empire 2. Instead, you bring up the movie with the pod race, the one with the guy who has horns on his face. If you like Jar Jar, then something's amiss, and while I've got a very bad feeling about this, I'll let it slide for the sake of this date, because in every other way you might be my soulmate. Oh yeah, in every other way you might be my soulmate, except for tomatoes and Star Wars. In every other way you might be my soulmate. You take me home and into your bedroom, and before long we start kissing, but there's something nagging at the back of my mind. Yet I've noticed something is missing, something very important to me, and that something is not in the scene. I can't get this thought out of my head. There are no books beside your bed. No books beside your bed. Not even a Kindle or an e-book reader beside your bed. If it was only you say fiction, and I say non-fiction, no, but it's that you say no to fiction, and you pass on non-fiction too. I don't want to bring up the strong correlation between reading books and deep conversation, because you say you don't read anymore, and that's something that I can't ignore. I'll still have sex with you on this first date, but I know that I will never be your soulmate.
Oh, if it was only tomatoes. No, but it's not only tomatoes. Okay, so now is the part of the show where someone in the audience shouts out a really good idea for a song. It has to be really good, not just shit like tomatoes. Because I don't always have a song like that. Anyway. Okay, song suggestion. What? Hipsters.
Hipsters.
Pre-mature
ejaculation.
What's that?
Pre-mature
ejaculation.
What?
Premature ejaculation. Premature ejaculation.
Yes, yes.
Oh, I've already written lots of material. No, I don't know. No, hipsters is a good thing, so come back next week or in 2 weeks time or whenever I'm back. Otherwise, I'm going to hand you back over to Paul Salamone, our host for this evening. Let's hear from Paul. Thank you, Luke. Anyway, yeah, a few weeks ago, I said, go on, give me a not really obvious, really boring, overdone suggestion, and someone said, hipsters. So I had to write a song about hipsters, as if that's never been done before. So this is my song about hipsters, about the reason why I personally don't like hipsters. It's not a general thing, there's a specific story behind it. So this is my rock opera about a hipster superhero. Here we go. I was walking home last Friday night when I felt a hand land on my shoulder. I turned around, expecting a friend. Instead, I found a kid who couldn't have been older than about 15. And I thought, well, maybe he wants me to buy him alcohol. Instead, he brought out a knife and said, I have issues with self-control, so give me your wallet or else you'll regret it. So I put my hand in my pocket to get it. I thought, I guess I'll just do what he says. It must be one of those days. Oh, one of those days. One of those days to be mugged by a hoodie. It's just one of those days. Yeah, one of those days. One of those days to be mugged by a hoodie. It's just one of those days. Then suddenly, out of the dark, a bright white light shone down on us. A lisping voice cried out from above saying, Chav boy, it's time for justice. The bright white light dropped down from the sky, and holding the light in his hand was a guy with thick rimmed glasses and a patchy beard and a tattoo on his neck that looked kind of weird. And he thrust out his chest and slicked back his hair and pointed his skinny arm up into the air and said, with a flurry of his cardigan, it is I'm Hipster Man. Oh, Hipster Man, Hipster Man, I'm saved, I thought it's Hipster Man. Oh, Hipster Man, Hipster Man, I'm saved, I thought it's Hipster Man. Chav boy ignored Hipster Man. Chav boy didn't even glance his way. Instead he says, you know this changes nothing. Give me your wallet without delay. But Hipster Man will fight you, I said. Then I heard a click and I let out a groan. The bright white light in the hero's hand was the LED flash of a new iPhone. I asked Hipster Man, are you taking photos? He said, you know, I bet I am. This one's gonna go totally viral. I'm posting it now on Instagram. On Instagram, on Instagram. Totally viral on Instagram. Oh, Instagram, on Instagram. I'm posting it now on Instagram. So I cried, you're not gonna fight for me. He said, I will, but I'm not one faction. Instead, I have a Tumblr about social justice. The pen, not the sword, is the greater attraction. I said, I'm glad your approach is kind of intellectual, but for me right now, it's kind of ineffectual. Chad boy grinned, I won't say it again. Your wallet is mine. I've a sword and not a pen. A sword, not a pen. A sword, not a pen. A very good point, he had a sword and not a pen. A sword, not a pen. A sword, not a pen. And soon I had no sword, nor pen, nor wallet. Then Chad boy turned to Hipster Man and said, I'll have that iPhone too. Hipster Man said, wait just a second, the photo upload is still going through. But Chad boy snatched it out of his hand and ran off, leaving the two of us alone. Hipster Man just shrugged and said, tomorrow my mother will buy me another iPhone. Another iPhone. Tomorrow my mother will buy me another iPhone. Another iPhone. That's the third time now Chav boy has stolen my iPhone. Really? Oh, come on, hipster man. Together we could have kicked his ass. Not all of his victims will have parents who are upper middle class. And no, you don't get to play the part of a martyr. I'm not gonna back your new Kickstarter to buy you a fixed gear hipster mobile. Some of us have problems that are real. Oh, hipster man, think it through, hipster man. Oh, hipster man, fuck you, hipster man. Fuck you, hipster man. Fuck you, hipster man.
Finally, my time has come to an end. It is up to someone in the audience, on the count of three, to shout out a really good song suggestion for me to do next week or 2 weeks' time or whenever I'm coming back to perform next. So, 1, 2, 3.
Quantum Physics.
Walk of Shame and...
Quantum Physics.
Quantum Physics and Walk of Shame was shouted out at the same time, so somehow I'm going to have to put those together and put it into a song.
Yeah.
I have no idea how, but a Quantum Walk of Shame. Okay, I'll work it out, I'll work it out. Anyway, my name's Luke Burridge, hope you've enjoyed my set this evening. I'm going to pass you back over to Paul Salmoni.
That Hipster Man song is about how me and Luke met.
Last time I was here, I said, okay, after three, shout something out. And two people shouted out something at exactly the same time. One person shouted out, quantum physics. And the other person shouted out, the walk of shame, at the same time. So for this next song, let's stick in the bitterly autobiographical, but it's not exactly autobiographical, though it's kind of based on a true story of mine, but... In this true story, you've just got to imagine that I'm actually a physics student at university in the first year. Okay, so this is called Quantum Walk of Shame. Here we go. And this is new, so I have the words. Oh, here we go. I wake up, groan, try to open my eyes. Drinking so much last night was unwise. I have an important physics test later today. But in bed I wanna stay, cause considering how hungover I am, I'm gonna fail my physics exam. I really should have known that today it wouldn't be okay. Cause in addition to feeling wrecked, I don't understand the subject. It's all about Schrodinger's cat, and I don't even get the basics of that. A cat can't be both alive and dead. I know I should have it clear in my head, but last night I should have been studying. Instead I went out drinking. Yeah, instead I went out dancing. But I was more than dancing, and I mean more than drinking. All night I was flirting with a girl called Simone, and it is well known that Simone is the hottest girl here on campus. And then my memory gets hazy, oh, but the night got racy. But I must be going crazy, and it is well known that the girl called Simone will never sleep with any guy here on campus. There's a gap in my memory, but now I'm in a girl's bedroom, somehow on the lower bed of a bunk bed, and judging by the photo of Simone and her parents, it belongs to Simone, and judging by the empty condom packet, we had sex, but now there's no one here but me. And Simone and her roommate must have left for lectures this morning while I was still asleep, but soon I start to ponder about her roommate, Rhonda. Patchy memories I review in the club. I was flirting with Rhonda too. Simone is out of my league, I know, but Rhonda is many leagues below. I don't want to say that she's fat, but she has big bones, let's leave it at that. And a good personality, well, let's just leave it at that. Yeah. I was in Simone's bed last night, but maybe Simone is just being polite. Maybe she said, Rhonda, it's alright, you're both too drunk to reach the top bunk. Have sex in the lower bed instead, you're welcome. As I dress, I ponder, last night who did I conquer? Hot Simone or not so hot Rhonda? After all I drank, my mind is blank, and I'm nervous now about the outcome. Yeah. Is this a walk of shame or is this a walk of pride? Because I'm feeling kind of lame, but also at the same time I'm feeling awesome inside. Is this a walk of shame or is this a walk of pride? For now I've gotta say both, because they come.
applied. Yeah, the process unnerves me, but until someone observes me, it simply preserves me in a superposition of shame and pride. The superposition won't collapse. I remain in the state of perhaps until someone catches my eye and puts their hand up for a high five or looks embarrassed and turns away. Until then, there's no way to know. Shame or pride, is the cat inside dead or alive?
Holy shit, I'm gonna pass my exam today. Shame or pride?
Thank you very much.
So that's the point for shame. So now it comes to the part of the set, just before I leave. It always happens that someone has to shout out something from the audience. Now, don't make it really obvious. Don't make it something that like other people have already done, like a set about tonight or anything like that. So, at the count of three, one person shouts something out. I'm going to do a song on in a few weeks' time. One, two, three.
Misogyny in comedy.
Misogyny in comedy. I like it a lot. So I will be doing more autobiographical songs in a few weeks' time. That's it for me. I have a CD for sale upstairs. Otherwise, I'm Luke Burge. Please give a big round of applause for Paul Salamone as he comes back on
stage.
He pulled it off. I don't know how he did it. What do you guys think? Should he be proud of that set or ashamed?
This is the song which I wrote specifically for this set about misogyny in comedy. It's inspired by the topic. It's not exactly, it doesn't really stick to that very much, but here we go. This is called Hopes of the Future.
We finished it yesterday.
Oh yeah, and I only wrote this over the last 2 days, so let's give this a go.
The future's near. Imagine what will soon be here. No shopping stores. Drones deliver right to our doors. And for the masses, computers built into our glasses. All could be ours. My hopes are the future of mankind.
The future's near. Imagine what will soon be here. Women walking around topless without any fear. In the future, we won't have to sit down to pee. And equal pay for equal work sounds good to me.
Soon flying cars. We'll go to work in flying cars then, out to Mars. Take a space cruise vacation to Mars then, onto the stars. Generation ships colonizing the stars. This could be ours, my hopes of the future of mankind.
Soon flying cars, but no jokes about women drivers. And men forgo their rape jokes in a comedy show. The future's clear, some small ideas that come to mind. This could be ours, my hopes for the future of
the future of mankind.
Why mankind? Why not man and womankind? What do you think? I think we could find a new word.
No more wars, no needless bloodshed for any cause. But if there are wars, let's have robots and fight our wars instead of us robots standing taller than a high rise, leap into the air and fly through the skies. Jets on the feet, each hand a laser gun. Fuck yeah, that sounds so much fun until the robots' minds become self-aware and they look around at us humans everywhere and they think there are just too many of us and start killing us humans without much fuss. And all of us men who didn't lose the knack of fighting get together and we start to fight back. The human resistance, it loses at first, but our souls grow stronger, things get worse. And just when we think it's our final hour, we capture a robot and use its power to blast away our robot enemies and drive them back into the seas. A pretty fucking epic story, I think you'll find. Yeah, this could be ours, my hopes for the future of mankind. My hopes for the future of mankind, or at least an awesome hypothetical future for mankind. Oh, sorry, you were saying something about women's problems?
The future's near, and robots will soon be here, working hard to set women free from domestic drudgery. Are women even in the future you're portraying? And by then, we'll.
aliens will come down from outer space and try to attach a thing onto the face of everyone on Earth and soon replace man's own free will and try to take our place as the rulers of the world. They'll do anything to have it. Humanity enslaved everywhere around the planet. Mindless drones all working in line, controlled telepathically by the hive mind. And just when it seems like the end is upon us, the robots will return and they'll fight the monsters. We and the robots make a strange team. Creativity of life plus the power of machine. The robots fly to cause a diversion while humans steal a teleportation device to send a bomb to the alien station. Soon we are free of the alien nation. As partners, as equals, we face the future side by side, and humans take on robot limbs and robots carry our brains inside. As we reach the stars, there's no distinction. Man and machine all part of one galaxy encompassing system. Fuck yeah, that sounds so much fun. A pretty fucking epic story, I think you'll find.
No.
This could be ours. My hopes for the future of mankind.
My hopes for the future of mankind.
My hopes for the future of mankind.
My hopes for the future of womankind.
My hopes for the future of mankind.
My hopes for the future of humankind.
Humankind?
Yeah, humankind.
Okay.
My hopes for the future of humankind.
So now it comes to the part of my set where I'm going to hand it over. The way it works is that I'll say 1, 2, 3 and someone will shout out a suggestion of a song that I will do, I'll write and perform next time we come back. So let's have one suggestion. After 3, 1, 2, 3.
Red Penny traffic marked. Lights.
Say again.
Penny marked.
Penny marked. Okay. And over here was?
Red traffic
lights. Red traffic lights. So two suggestions shouted out at the same time, so I'm going to try and combine red traffic lights with Penny Mart for the next time I come back, or in a few weeks' time. So that's it from me and Juliana. Thanks a lot. So last week I asked for a song suggestion, and two people shouted out a suggestion at exactly the same time. Someone shouted out Penny Marked, and the other person shouted out Red Traffic Lights. So I combined them into one song. It's a song about Penny Marked, and there was one line that mentions traffic lights. I'm going to take that as a win. I only wrote this yesterday. I need the words, and I'm just a bit nervous about not being able to read them, but I think that's going to go. So if I'm looking at this instead of you, I still like you, but I need the words. Okay, so this is a song about Penny Marks. And just remember, you've got to think what another suggestion, an original not shit suggestion to shout out when I ask at the end of this. Okay, here we go, Penny Marks. Let's try it again, my plectrum was the wrong way around. One kind of everything is good enough for me. Why would I want to choose between two types of black tea? One kind of everything will work out just fine. Don't force me to choose between Chardonnay or Riesling. Just give me some white wine. One kind of everything gets the job done. Don't show me two orange juices or two apple juices. Simply show me one. One kind of everything is all I need. Please take away my choice and my happiness will be guaranteed. I don't even think about the other shops I see. Penny Market is the only one for me. I really like it, not just a little. I could rave about it all day. It's extra nice, it's net eau de cheveux. It's perfect for me, so let's get a car and drive over to Penny Market. I'm going with it, okay. And only one amount of everything will work for me. I only want one potato, but I'll eat my way through a kilogram or three. One number of bell peppers will be alright. I'll just take these three here in a plastic bag, arranged like a red and yellow and green traffic light. One amount of everything is a good idea. I'll eat this kilogram of snacks as I drink my 200 milliliters of beer. One amount of everything is all I need. Please take away my choice and my happiness will be guaranteed. It will be guaranteed, and even though I'm here to buy food, that doesn't preclude me checking out the random baskets at the back of the store. And if I'm caught in the right mood,
I may just conclude my visit to Pennymarkt by walking out the door with a snorkel, some felt-tip pens, or a tree. A new touchscreen Windows PC. Or one of 17 pairs of women's running shoes available in only one size. Two German novels, a machine that makes waffles, a multi-gym to make me build more muscles. I came here to buy my groceries, but I leave with a lawnmower with four detachable accessories. Pennymarkt is the only one for me. I really like it, not just a little. I could rave about it all day. It's extra nice, as is Netto Dessert. It's perfect for me, so let's get a car and drive over to Pennymarkt. Okay, I can tell from the blank faces in the audience that some people here don't realise I'm actually doing 8 German supermarket puns in the chorus there. So I'm going to sing through the chorus one more time, and I'm going to pause, and you're going to shout out the supermarket that you think I just mentioned. Here we go. I really like it.
Yeah.
Not just a little.
Little.
I could rave about it.
Yeah.
All day.
All day.
It's extra nice.
Extra.
Fucking hell. Extra. Extra. It's a supermarket. It's extra nice. And auf Deutsch, nice is netto.
Netto.
Netto. It's perfect for me. It's perfect for me. So this one's tricky. Let's get a car. So let's get a car and drive over to Pennymarkt. Just one supermarket is all I need. Please take away my choice, and my happiness will be guaranteed. It will be guaranteed. What? They don't call it Pennymarkt anymore. They've changed the name to Penny. Ah, fuck. Forget that whole song. Penny is the only one for me. Okay, so is that part of the set where I'm going to turn over to you, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, shout out something not shit, and shout out something that no other comedian has done like a full set about tonight. So here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Pokemon.
No, you see, I've already mentioned that in the song. I just said it in the song. I've just done a song with Pokemon in it. Fucking hell. Let's do it properly this time. I'll edit this out of the DVD. Okay. There is no DVD. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Oh,
come on!
You see?
No, I've done a song about hipsters! What the fuck? Do you want me to do my hipster song? Here we go. No. Okay. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Dangling.
Concrete.
Fuck it, I'm going with concrete.
Yeah.
Come back. Come back in 2 weeks' time when I'm singing a song about my time. Okay, see you later, guys. Last time I was here, I asked for song suggestions and someone shouted out concrete.
Yeah,
I know, exactly, concrete. So it turns out I can't write funny songs about concrete. So instead I wrote a sad song about concrete. So that's what I'm going to perform. This is a song called Concrete, a song in 3 parts. Part A, the bungee jump. Step 1, I stand on the edge of the board. Step 2, they attach the bungee cord. Step 3, they announce I will find this fun. Step 4, they count down 3, 2, 1. Step 5, throw myself from the end of the crane. Step 6, arms wide in the shape of a plane. Step 7, I feel the cord pull tight. Step 8, I hear a twang, that doesn't sound right. I hear a twang, that doesn't sound right. Step 9, foam back into the air at an angle. As the cord around my ankles becomes disentangled, a perfect parabola, a spinning free fall, away from the crash mat that now seems so small. Will I land on my head or will I land on my feet? Step 10, I hit the concrete.
B, the hospital 7 months later. Step one, they lay me out on a board. Step two, disconnect the power cord. Step three, the doctor pronounces me dead. Step four, my ghost floats up out of my head. Step five, my brother, he says goodbye. Step six, my mother, she has a good cry. Step seven, my lawyer, he clears his throat. Step eight, opens my will to read what I wrote. He opens my will to read what I wrote. Step nine, he groans because my will is a joke. I wrote it at a time I was flat out broke. There's nothing there about anything I own but what to do with my body when I die, I set in stone. And it's not even clever, I'm not even proud. Step ten, my lawyer reads my will out loud. Part C, my will and what to do with my body after I die. Step one, make a large box out of wood. 6 feet by 2 by 1 is good. Step two, buy plaster and a lot of clay. Step three, fill the box to about halfway. Step four, put my corpse in the plaster face down with my hands up by my chest like I'm trying not to drown. Step five, push me into the plaster quite deep. Step six, let the plaster set hard while you sleep. Step seven, cremation. Step eight, ash collection. Step nine, mix my ash with cement to perfection. Step 10, pour cement into the plaster cast. Then simply wait until it's set hard and fast. The result is a block that will stand up on its own. Look great in a graveyard or even at home. I know it's not clever, but wouldn't it be neat to have a hand sewed or carbonite these gravestone feature on my own face, made out of me, mixed with concrete. I'm in a second. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and someone here is going to shout out a great idea. 1, 2, 3.
Silence,
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl.
Is it? Okay. You weren't the first one to shout out, but you're the only one who shouted out so I could hear what you were saying, which is really good. So yes, come back in 2 weeks' time when I'll do hopefully a happy song about Chernobyl.
Just for us.
So I guess that's part of the set. As Caroline said, I write a new song for each time I perform here because the guys here, they say, hey, how about doing a songwriting challenge and get people to shout out suggestions from the audience at the end of your set. And next time you're back, in next week or 2 weeks' time, you'll have a new song written and prepared. And so last time I was here, like 2 weeks ago, I wrote quite a sad song about concrete was the suggestion. and it was a song about a bungee jump that went wrong and concrete. So I said, hey, someone shout out like a suggestion that I can write a happy song about. Is it a happy song? And everyone went quiet. I said, okay, 1, 2, 3, happy song suggestion. And someone shouted out Chernobyl. So for the second time in a row, the happy song hasn't come out really. But this is the song. I've got the words here because I only wrote it yesterday. So this is the song. And at the end of this, I'll ask for some more suggestions. So try and think of some happy suggestions. So you go. They start with D. That's important for me. 10 seconds. Here we go. Mistake is all that it might take to cause a little more stress here and there. Too much heat in turn and the core begins to burn. An explosion and something toxic is in the air. The damage at first unknown, set up an exclusion zone. Trouble too big to fix all alone. Am I talking about the Chernobyl fallout? Or am I describing what it's like living with someone like you? Like you. Yeah, you're tough.
like the Hindenburg at Lakers. You make me ill, like the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. Your poison spreads faster than the Bhopal disaster. And now I'm lost at sea, like Malaysia Airlines flight 370. Some days it's like Challenger, blow up on the way up. Some days it's like Columbia, break down on the way down. Oh, the hubris of man, an ape who thinks I can. But sometimes things don't liquid hydrogen, radiation, crude oil or gas, toxic waste, DC electricity, flammable materials, or living with someone like you. Like you, like you. Yeah, your touch is cursed, like the Hindenburg at Lakehurst. You make me ill, like the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. Your poison spreads faster than the Bhopal disaster. And now I'm lost at sea, like Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. You're more dangerous than the worst unnatural catastrophe. So that was my happy song. Also, weirdly enough, a bitterly autobiographical song. So it's got to that point in the evening where I'm going to turn it over to you guys. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, someone's going to shout out a suggestion. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
No!
You shout out first. What was the first?
Flies.
Flies? A happy topic about a happy song about flies. Do you want to like narrow it down? Is it flies that go buzz? Is it flies that might be down? Just flies in general. Flies. Okay, so come back in 2 weeks' time. Do a happy song about flies. That's it from me. I'm going to pass you back over to the host, Caroline.
Flatmate.
So these are the words here. I only wrote this yesterday. So this is the song about flies. And at the end of this, I'll ask for another suggestion. So yeah, hopefully this goes well. Okay. It's not only human societies that have a digital divide. There are also animal varieties that are connected or not worldwide. It comes down to their animal anxieties. Yes, their fear becomes their guide. Because while sharks are interested in surfing, fish don't want to be online. While blackbirds are really into Twitter, butterflies try to avoid the net. Yeah, butterflies try to avoid the net. While rats are happy to go viral, hedgehogs avoid the information superhighway. While leeches like to stay connected, flies stay away from the web. Yeah, flies stay away from the web. I'm talking about flies are afraid of a web. More animals would like to interact, lack of fingers on thumbs notwithstanding. But all of these animals overreact to a simple mistake in the branding. The words that we use are so inexact and can lead to sad misunderstanding. Because while elephants like roaming and charges, goats are afraid of trolls. While horses really like Trojan attacks, pigs are morally opposed to spam. Yeah, pigs are morally opposed to spam. Bears often go on fishing expeditions, and hamsters enjoy a series of tubes. While pigeons are very good at messaging, moths don't like flame wars. They only hear the word flame in the term flame wars. And flies stay away from the web. Yeah, because flies are afraid of a web.
for your applause. So this is it. Come down to the very last suggestion. I've done 9 songs already on many different topics. So anyway, here I'm going to leave it open here. On the count of 3, someone shout out a really good suggestion for the 10th song in a row. 1, 2, 3.
Schmoozing.
And what was the other shout? There's someone else shouted something else at the same time. What was that?
Alzheimer.
What?
Alzheimer.
Alzheimer's.
Disease.
So schmoozing and Alzheimer's. Okay, so for my final song, which I'll be doing next week or in 2 weeks' time, a song about schmoozing and Alzheimer's put together. It should be great. Thanks a lot for coming out tonight, and I hope you enjoyed my set. I'm going to pass it back over to Paul. Like 2 weeks ago, I was here and I'd done a song, stupid song about flies. And then I said, on the count of 3, shout out your new song suggestion. And 1, 2, 3, and 2 people shouted out something at exactly the same time. The first person, or one of the people, shouted out schmoozing. Does everyone know what schmoozing is? It's when you kind of suck up to someone and kind of like, and the other suggestion that someone shouted out was Alzheimer's disease. It's really hard to write a really funny song about Alzheimer's disease, especially, you know, I've got personal experience with relatives. So I wrote this song. I must admit, it's not utterly hilarious as I was planning, but hopefully you enjoy this song called Alzheimer's Schmoozing. Here we go. Your daughter Kathy is my mother. No, I'm not Alan. Alan's Kathy's brother. Alan is your own son. And no, Nathan is my twin. I'm Luke, not Nathan. Really, I'm not him, though we're twins. So it's not only Alzheimer's Pete's pill who messed that one up. Yup. Yeah. Oh, nice. Derek's not actually around anymore, Grandma. Look, it's nice to chat and schmooze, but you're late for your afternoon snooze. I'm leaving now, but please don't fret. I'll be around in town for a few days yet, because you know, tomorrow is my birthday. No, wait, that's not what I meant to say. No, Grandma, put your purse away. Fine, I'll take your £20 note gift, okay? Thanks, Grandma. Sleep well, Grandma. Hello, Grandma, I've come to visit again. No, I'm not Alan. No, I guess when your son was my age, we might have looked quite the same. I'm not Stephen. I don't know who Stephen is. I'm not Nathan. I'm the twin brother of his. No, really, I'm not Nathan. Okay, I'll pretend I'm Nathan, even though he's still away on his birthday vacation. Yup. Oh, nice. I've not seen Derek around for years, Grandma. No. So I'm caught up with all your news. Now it's time for your afternoon snooze. I'm leaving now, but I'll be back soon. I mean Luke, my brother, he'll be back soon. No, Grandma, please don't be that way. No, Grandma, put your purse away. Nathan doesn't need money for his last birthday. Fine, I'll take your £20 note gift, okay? Thanks, Grandma. Sleep well, Grandma. Hello, Grandma, I heard you're not so well. I'm here to sit beside your bed for just a short spell. No, I'm not the nice man who helps with your bedpan. No, I'm not Stephen. I don't even know who Stephen might be. But guess what? We'll carry on regardless. Yup. Yup. Oh, nice. No, Derek won't be visiting soon. Okay. Oh, thanks for sharing all your views. Now get ready for your afternoon snooze. Oh, no, wait. It looks like you suddenly recognize me. Go on, Grandma, do your best to identify me. No, I'm not the young man who you always pay a £20 note, as it's always his birthday. Grandma, put your purse away. Fine, I'll take your £20 note. Okay, thanks, Grandma. Sleep well, Grandma. Hello, Grandma, I guess this is it. The doctors say this is likely my last visit, and nothing is the same. You're no longer in pain, and cause you can't talk, there's no guessing game about my real name. No, you can't talk, but I guess I'll play my part here just the same. Yup, yup. Oh, nice! Well, you'll see Derek again soon, I'm sure. You've no memories of me, it's true, but let me share my strongest memory of you. At the end of each visit here, I would excuse myself and leave just before your afternoon snooze. I'd wait right outside your door for a while until I was quite sure that you were asleep. And then, of course, I'd slip that £20 note back into your purse.
It was the same damn £20 note every time, but that fact every time, like my name would slip your mind. But thanks, Grandma. Sleep well, Grandma. Thanks, Grandma. Now sleep well, Grandma.
So that's it. That's the end. That's the end of the album. That's it. Live and Suggestible. I hope you enjoyed it. I certainly enjoyed making it. And if this has made you laugh or has made you think or has made you cry, I think you'd also enjoy listening to my other comedy album full of funny songs. Some of them recorded live. A lot of them recorded like in a studio recordings. You can check out my other album, Bitterly Autobiographical. You can find that on the iTunes store, on the Amazon MP3 store. And you can find links directly to purchase those that album at those stores at lukeburridge.com. You'll be able to find the link there. Or just search for Luke Burridge Bitterly Autobiographical in all the right places. So that's it for this free album. I will catch you at the next live show, or maybe if you download another album. See you next time.